You're listening to the weekly podcast of City Church Orlando, located just off of 1792 at 650 Airport Boulevard in Sanford, Florida. Our website, orlandocitychurch.org. Today, our guest speaker is Rick Ryan from Convoy of Hope. Rick will continue with our series called 40 Days of Love. God wants to do something very special in your life, not only for you, but through you. Our scripture text comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Today's message is entitled, A Convoy of Hope.
There's a lot of people sitting right now trying to see something on a television show that'll just erase the pain because they need someone to give them a good day today. And I don't know about it, but that was good right there. That was a demonic force right there. I know that Jesus has used you as a church. Church, we're coming back to Orlando. We're looking to try to go to 4 or 5 locations next year. We've got some of the major churches, including your church. I consider a major church. This is a 1,000-member church here. I'm going to say it this way. Realize that God is going to have churches start coming to you and saying, can we join part of your ministries? Because all we hear, because on the street, people are talking about you. They're talking about liberation, they're talking about freedom, and they're talking about your giving spirit. In 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, Paul writes back to the church in Corinth and says, the churches in Macedonia, when they heard of your need, they gave liberally, even though they were in a time of affliction and poverty. They gave liberty and with an urgency that we would give the gift to you. Because I got a feeling there was a sense in Paul of churches, you need to maintain your own and take care of yourself. But it was their spirit, and the word is liberality. Liberality. And because of that, there was blessing for everyone. And that's you, church. That's the label of who you are. And so I'm excited about that, for what you've done, but also what God's going to do. We're believing God for about 25,000 people here in Orlando to minister to next year. And we're really excited. The U.S. Outreach is one thing we do, and we just finished in Tampa about 5 weeks ago in Tampa. That's not that far from here. In Tampa, we had 15,000 people come to the outreach. We had 13,500 come through the prayer tent. We've had 1,757 people that received a job at our job fair. Isn't that cool? And do you know who paid for it? The Tampa Bay Bucks. Because the NFL Charities is our most recent partner that has partnered with us. We have over 500 partners, people like Coca-Cola that gives us about $4 million of product a year. FedEx gives us 6 planes anytime there's an international disaster. We've used 12 of their planes this week going to 4 countries of the world trying to help with food and supplies. They pay for the pilot, the fuel, everything. Now, come on. Yeah, I don't know about you, but that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Bass Pro, some of you fishing honey guys, Bass Pro gives us about $3 million worth of product a year, just all kinds of stuff like that. So we do international disaster relief and local disaster relief. We have convoy trucks like you saw there, Speed the Light trucks. Speed the Light gave us those big trucks. We have 15 of them at our place, and we have 7 of them in Georgia today that are helping churches. 2 churches were totally flooded out. They're meeting outside by a tent that we gave them. The one pastor I heard, because I just got a text from our representative there who's there, and he said in the first service that they had, the tent is bigger than what they had in their sanctuary. In the first service, they had 3 times the amount of people that they normally have. Doesn't that work? In fact, the pastor told my friend, who is our outreach coordinator, he told my friend, bring on disasters, God, if that's going to do church growth. Nobody here is very happy about that, but anyway, that's cool. You don't want disaster. Nobody wants disaster, but usually it's during recession, disaster, or political upheaval in a country is when revival comes. So I say, God, if we need to have more recession to come back to God, bring it on to America. I speak that as a missionary, not because I want to bring any pain on anybody. Because you know what? I know a God that outgives all of us. And he never stopped. In August last year, he didn't stop and say, bummer, man, the U.S. is in recession. We can't bless them. We're going to have to pull back. We can't do as much. Holy Spirit, hold off. That's God, right? Isn't that how God operates? Well, then how come we operate that way sometimes? Oh, man, we got to hold. I got to protect myself because we got retirement funds. We're not sure what's going to happen. Well, man, they're not earning any money now. You might as well just give them away and watch God bless you. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm speaking a wrong word there. I'm sorry. Wrong crowd. I'm sorry. I'm joking. But God has helped us and done all kinds of stuff. And so thank you. Later we'll take a one day to feed the world offering. If you would consider giving one day salary, I did it this morning. I gave into your offering because I want to give in every offering. I'm going to give the rest of it here in just a few minutes. I want to give in every offering ever because I want to have the blessing of Deuteronomy 14, which says, he who gives generously to the poor and the suffering will be blessed. And it's a double portion thing. Will be blessed, and the work of his hand will be blessed. How many want that? I do. So that's why I give and everything. Plus, I can't outgive God. There's just no way. Okay, so I brought my shoes, my missionary shoes. These are my missionary shoes. The reason I brought my missionary shoes is because these are my cool shoes. They don't look very cool. They're getting pretty worn now. But these are my shoes that I've traveled in more than 180 countries with. The reason they're black shoes, first of all, they're comfortable walking shoes, but they're black because usually you never know what you're going into. You know, you never know what you're going to walk in, and you never know what's going to go on. These shoes have gone all over the world. These shoes have traveled with me everywhere. The reason I bring them to you today is because I promised a lady this last January that I would bring these shoes wherever I go because I was wearing these shoes in El Salvador in January this last year. We were in a village that of about probably about 6,000 to 7,000 people. The surrounding area, very, very, very poor. In fact, we've given a school there because the government is so poor in that area they can't even have a public school. So we built a school there through Latin American Child Care, and we provide the food. It's the second day of classes. I had come to do a school assembly on faith, to give kids a sense of faith and hope. And I'd come with a team from the United States, and so we were doing stuff. As I mentioned Wednesday night, they call me Gringo Loco because I get pretty animated and pretty crazy, and I tell a lot of stories. And so, you know, it was one of those kind of great moments. And in the midst of that whole meeting that night, that day, the kids were all there from the school. There was about 250 kids there. I gave an altar call at the end. While I'm giving the altar call in the second row, a little girl who looked like probably she was first grade, that little girl gave her life to Jesus, but she started crying before she did. And so I went over and picked her up and finished the altar call with her in my arms. In fact, I gave the altar call looking at her and talking to her as if she was the only one in the room. I was so blessed. Her name is Maria. And I was so blessed to be able to hug her and love her and watch her as she accepted Jesus. I found out she wasn't in first grade, but she was in sixth grade. Because of malnutrition, she had not grown properly like everybody else. So she literally stood about that tall. We went outside and we gave the kids their only meal of the day that Convoy provides. And with it was this soup, this protein soup. I gave it to her and of course, you know, as the other kids did, they just gobbled the stuff down. Then I went outside and was sitting on a wall. There was a mother there. And I went to greet her, as typical in Latin America, you always greet everybody. I mean, even if you don't know them, you're very warm. And so I went to her, and, hola, hermanita, ¿cómo estás? And she said, oh, estoy bien. But you could tell she was very gaunt, very thin, bag of bones kind of shape. And I started to talk to her, and the kids are behind me playing. I started to talk to her, and I said, how are you doing? She said, fine, but she didn't look at me. You see, Latins love to look at your eyes. Asians look down. They will look up at you, but they always keep their eyes diverted. But Latins look right at your eyes because they feel if they can see your eyes, they can look into your soul, and they can know what kind of person you are. It's very spirit-driven, very different than normal. And so looking into the eyes. Well, she didn't look in my eyes. She looked over my shoulder. Does that ever freak you out when somebody looks over your shoulder? You kind of want to, hey, ho, You know, that kind of thing, right? And so I'm like, you know, I didn't do that. But, you know, I said, and then I looked at the girl, and Maria was out there playing, and she had joy, and she's dancing all over, and it looks so cool. And I said, is that your daughter? And she said, yes, it's my daughter. And then she looked right at me in my eyes, and she said, why did you come? And I said, well, I came because, you know, we wanted to help, and we're wanting to help here and give food and help. And she said, well, thank you. And then she turned back to me and looked at me again, and she said, you know, my daughter's so different. She said, you know, we didn't come here because of the education here, even though it's a good education. We came for food. And I said, haven't you eaten for a while? She said, we haven't eaten for 8 days. Now, she had a little boy about a year and a half that was playing in the dirt, who was playing very lethargically, because for 8 days, that 1.5-year-old had not eaten. The mother had not eaten, and the little girl had not eaten. And I promised her, because I said to her at that time, I said, you haven't eaten for 8 days. She said, no. And so I went and grabbed some soup, a bowl of soup. It's a high and rich protein soup that we get from Herbalife. I watched a mother take soup in her hands, even though she's starving. As a good mother, she turned her this little boy and gave it to him. And the 1.5-year-old gobbled, stuffed his face in it, and licked every bit of soup. I forgot that a mother's response would be that. I went and quickly got another bowl of soup and brought it to her. And she, with almost apologetic eyes, just consumed it as fast as she could. That she turned to me with tears now flowing. And she said to me, thank you, sir. And tell whoever sent you, thank you, because you're providing something that I can't even give my own kids, food. You see, that's what drives me, because as a missionary, I travel all over the world, and I walk amongst the poor and the suffering in these shoes. 3 months ago, I was in Rwanda. Up in the northern part, to get up there, we had to go through rebel territory. Shots were fired at us. But we get out to 250,000 people that live in a big plain area, all huddled together in the most rotten conditions imaginable because of war-torn Rwanda, where now the tribal Tutsis are coming back to kill and genocide the other rival people. And now it's a mess again. And we're up there giving packets of seeds and giving shovels and giving food. And it's incredible. It is incredible in these shoes. You don't forget the imagery of this. To back up trucks and open up and start to give food to people that are dying. And then you ask them to stay, to hear what you have to say and why you do it. And they all stay. Nobody leaves because NFL's on. Nobody leaves because I got to hurry to my next appointment. No, they stay around. Because they want to hear why. And when you express to them the love of Jesus, because you see, Convoy never backs up a truck and just gives away food. We don't do that. We always try to communicate the gospel and the love of Jesus. Walking amongst a crowd of maybe 35,000 starving people that had food in their hand that they were eating while they listened to me, and then having sacks of food, and then walking amongst them, trying to talk to them, trying to connect with them, and having people reach out with hands extended, thousands. When you say, how many want the love of God? Because I talked about that he went to the cross and died for them. He came off the cross so that they could have life. How many want that love? And to watch thousands reach to you, not heavenward. They don't know that. They've never been in church. But to watch thousands reach to you as if you got the answer. You say, well, Rick, that's really cool for you, and that's great, and you brought your shoes. Good job. you know what? There's thousands around you in their own heart are reaching to try to find something. They're spending billions of dollars. They're addicting themselves to all kinds of habits to escape or to receive something real. And you and I have got it right here. How dare I hold on to it? How dare I hold on to it? God wants to set you free. God wants to set you free. He wants to give you and release in you something so significant and so powerful. I mean, I'm that one of those kind of guys. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those kind of guys that just don't want to exist. I don't want my life to just kind of do its thing and then just kind of wake up one day and, you know, now I'm this age and I'm doing this and wake up at 40 and wake up at 50 and wake up at 70 and wake up at 16 and just kind of do life. I don't want to do that. I want to make a difference. I always have. And especially if I've got something. Because, you know, the tables would be a little bit different if you had, and I've thought about this. Wouldn't it be cool to be a billionaire? And, like, not for me, but to give it all away? I'd like to live on, like, $20,000 but have, like, $40 billion to just give away. And give it away in increments that would be really cool increments. I would love to walk in churches like yours that are really doing things for the cause of Christ that everybody's talking about. And I'd love to drop an unregistered check, but where they would not know it's me, and just drop a $250,000 check in the offering. I'd love that. Because I would love to watch the bro, wherever he's at, that does the offering stuff and does the administration stuff. Because he would probably take it back there and start counting. And in the middle of pastor's sermon, he would come running up, screaming at the top. I would love to be there. Would you? Huh? Wouldn't you love to walk into your sister-in-law's house who's struggling? She's a single mom, three kids, really going through it, really, really do whatever. And just slip into her purse $150,000. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't it be a blast? Wouldn't you love to be around her at Christmas? Wouldn't that be fun? I got more than that. I got more than that right here. More than money can provide. Because what I do draws a lot of wealthy people to me to talk to me about trying to help me out, as if giving money is going to release them from their pain and the doubt they have in their own life. Because a lot of wealthy people are very sad, lonely people who are trying to fill their life with toys. They've bought into the American dream that says, he who dies with the most toys wins. But your boat's not going with you. Your rod and wheel's not going with you. You're getting buried in a box, man. And not much else fits in there except your overweight body. You know what I'm saying? I want to make a difference with what God's given me right here. I want to see a world changed. And as a pastor, when I pastored, until 2 years ago, I was a missionary for 15 years, and then we came back to the States to pastor. I was traveling so much that I wanted to spend some time with my kids. So my son was about seven. Yeah, he was seven when we came back. And in fact, I got a message from my son to me today. My son prays over me every day before I preach anywhere. He knows what my schedule is, and so he'll call me on his cell phone. He's 15 years old now. His name is Theo. I love him to death. This morning as we were closed, he's closed on his prayer. He's done this since he was 5 years old. I don't know what possesses him, but I want to tell you something that speaks to me. He said, hey, Dad, before you go, preach big God. Preach big God. So that's what I'm trying to do to you today. So we came back to the States because I was trying to spend some more time with my kids and pastoring, you know. That's a joke. you're working so hard sometimes in the ministry, and our church just exploded. It went from 600 to 1,600 in 2.5 years, and it just went off the charts. And I want to tell you something. I didn't have any special thing. I just kept seeking God and getting all the people involved in compassion ministry, where you reach with a compassionate touch to people around you. Because most churches in America are drive-by sightings. Did you know today in America, this weekend, there will only be 32% of Americans that will go into any kind of house of worship? Any kind of house of worship. I know there's a billion churches around here. Seems like every block has 5 here in Central Florida, you know? But the reality is 32% of America does not go anywhere to a house of worship on a weekend. There's a lot of people out there that don't know Jesus. And so you're doing a lot of work and you're doing a lot of things. And I was preaching a series to the people about, you know, we need to be spiritual conduits and flowing and just letting the Holy Spirit flow through us all the time. And I kept saying to the Lord, Lord, I don't want my life to be a life that just passes by and I'm not doing that myself. I don't want to be a preacher that preaches and does not experience. And it was a lot of fun. God did a lot of cool things. In fact, I thought I was doing pretty good, because you know what? When you start saying to God, God, I want to take all I've got here and give it away, He puts you in some pretty wild situations. I mean, pretty cool. And in fact, you step out in those kind of things, and God will light a fire that is so exciting. In fact, you know what it is? It's the big adventure. It's the big adventure. You wake up every morning, instead of going, oh, dude, man, it's so hot. Oh, man, my bills, and oh, woo, wow, yee, blah, and all of that. You don't do that. You don't get up and just, like, take the shower and eat Wheaties and go to work. You don't do that. You get up, and you start going, whoa, man, I wonder what he's going to do today. Wow, man. Whoa, God, you going to do it here? How about here? You going to do it with her or him? And you start walking around with your antennas up going, whoa, cool, God. This is fun. You know what it would be like, what it's like? It's like if Jesus was alive and you were one of his disciples. You know, in John 9, it starts out, the first few words of John 9 was this. As he was walking, there was a blind man. As he was walking, there was a blind man. And it's really incredible to watch this whole scenario. He immediately gets down, and the disciples had now walked with him about 1.5 years. They had seen, just a few short weeks earlier, they had seen people raised from the dead. They had seen blind eyes open. In fact, it was written about 2 chapters earlier. It's written that everywhere he went, all manner of disease is healed. So what did the disciples do? Wow, the big adventure, right? What did they do? Started to stroke their beards and get in theological discussion about, excuse me, Lord, whose sin is this? Is it the sin of the parents or the sin of the young man? In the Greek, it says. I don't know about you, but if I was there and I had other people with me, hey, dude, watch this. Dude, he walks around and things start happening. Watch. Look, he's spitting in the ground. Dude, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Whoa. He's going to watch it. Oh, man. What's me? In the eyes. Here comes. The dude's going to see. Watch. I see men walking as trees. Oh, dude, watch what he does. He's going to watch that. He's going to do it again. It's going to be over. The guy's healed. Or are you like the disciples? I wonder why the guy gets so animated. I just wish he'd, like, take a spiritual Valium and just, like, chill. You know, because, like, my religious background doesn't allow emotion. We need to have theological discussions. And, you know, the world around, they're looking for theological discussions.
The poor and the hurting are looking for theological discussions. In Rwanda, in front of 250,000 devastated people, let's have a theological discussion. No, they're looking for you to do it and you to do it. And there's people you're going to touch that I'm never going to get near. They will never listen to my voice. I'm too skinny for that. But God's got this big adventure thing for us. It's exciting. It's incredible. Oh, don't sit there. I'm not exactly sure if this is where I fit in. Don't do that. Know that Jesus wants to use you. There's an audience of thousands that is waiting for your voice. 2 Christmases ago, it's actually the first week of December. Better get up here so I can be seen on the internet. God bless you. 2 Christmases ago, I'm doing a marriage premarital counseling for a couple in our church that's going to get married. And this couple, really cool, really wonderful, is their last session. Started at 10 o'clock, we're going to finish at 11. And it's about a quarter to 11. And my cell phone rings. Now, my cell phone, or my people knew in my church, and we were, you know, we were pumping people in and out of there. But my people knew that when my cell phone rang, I could look at it, and if it was someone other than my wife or children, I never answered it. I knew, because I've learned this, all emergencies can wait. And I'm so bugged when people, like, are watching their cell phone and talking to you. Doesn't that just freak you out? It's just kind of like, get rid of it, dude. I want to throw it out the window, okay? And God will forgive me. You know, that kind of thing. But if it was my wife and kids, I always answered, because that's my first congregation. His first congregation is not you. It sits here. Get that Church of Christ mentality out of you that he's your employee. Get that out. Spiritual leader, and that's his audience first, and then it's you. So it's my wife. Now, you got to understand my wife. My wife is incredible. I mean, she's anointed. She's godly. She's prophetic. She speaks at all these women's conferences. She's at one this weekend. It's a conference of 2,400 women. I mean, just incredible things. So, I mean, like, she was a missionary before I was, so, like, she's the veteran. I'm the rookie. I just, like, carry her suitcases, okay? I mean, she's anointed, right? But my wife calls me, typical wife, okay? She calls me. She says, how you doing, honey? And I said, great, great. And she says, what are you doing? I said, well, you know, Ted and Beth, it's their premarital counseling. I'm almost done. She said, well, babe, she said, you know, you've been looking for a white Christmas tree, one of those fake ones with the lights on it already done because you hate to put up Christmas tree lights. Well, Rick, there's one. Macy's has one for sale, half price. And I said, well, that's great, babe. I said, tell you what. You know, when I get done here, I'll go over and buy it. Man, that's great. That's really good news. She said, well, Rick, the sale's done at 11. You got to get it before 11. I look at my watch, and it's now like 12 to 11. And I said, well, babe, I'm in the middle of this counseling time. And she used a word that women use with their husbands sometimes. It's a word that guys hate, but they have no resistance against it. Okay? It's this word. Please. Right? Come on, lady, go ahead and jab him. Come on. Jab him. Please. It's right here, man. They're loving it. And then she, oh, you forgive me, won't you? She ducked her head into a shell. You forgive me, won't you? Good job. But, bro, listen to that word. So, please. And I go, I turn off the phone, and I said, hey, you guys, there's an emergency that I need to go deal with at home. And I headed out the side door, jumped in my car. I was a pastor. I'll admit it. I broke the speed limit. I'm 10 minutes away from the mall, second largest mall in Southern California, but I broke the speed. I am racing on the interstate, pull off that thing. I'm like, I get into the parking lot. It's Christmas time. I mean, the place is jammed, but I'm going like 95 down the things. Cars are starting to come out and stopping, jerking. People are flipping me off. I mean, the whole thing, but I'm finding a parking spot because we're making this thing happen. And I'm driving, I can't find a park. So I drive across a four-lane street to a Starbucks, park there, get out, and start running. Now, you notice this body is not necessarily made for running, right? And so we start running, and I'm, you know, and I'm running to get into Macy's. And I ran up to the counter at Macy's, the makeup counter. You never go there. Guys, never, ever go there unless we've forgotten the birthday or the anniversary, and we go to one of those little kiosk things there that's got all the makeup cream perfume in one bottle. You know what I mean? And we buy that, think that's really cool. Babe, what do you think? You know? And the lady's just, gross. You know, what does that smell? You know? But it was $15 on sale. You know what I mean, guys? You with me? You know what I mean? So I'm just, ma'am, can you tell me where the Christmas trees are? And she goes, well, this is the women's store. The men's store's at the other end of the mall. So I go, man. It is now like 1 minute after 11. But I go. I'm thinking I'm going to get there. I'm like pushing over old ladies. I'm jumping over kids. I get to the escalator. I'm doing four at a time. I am moving. I get up there. Sweat is flowing. I got this big stain right here because of sweat. I get up the counter because there's a Christmas tree right there. Dude, my like Christmas and white flock lights don't like that. You know, and can I get one? And that guy goes, I would love to sell you one, but the sale's tomorrow. And I'm leaning there, man. I'm sweating. I'm just doing this. And the counter there is just getting water spots all over it. Dude, I'm so embarrassed, man. Man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said, dude, tell me. I said, how you doing, man? You know, something to get, you know that Snickers bar commercial, right? If you want to escape, or Mars bar, or whatever it is you want to escape. This is one of those things. Okay, Twix. Okay, whatever. You know it, David. You've gotten into them. You've eaten them. Yeah, there you go. And so I'm wiping this out. Dude, I'm so sorry. I said, how you doing? He goes, I'm doing terrible. And I look up at his eyes, and he is crying. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, well, my girlfriend that has lived with me for 4 years, she left this morning. She's never coming back. And he starts bawling his eyes out. And I said, well, I don't know what to tell you, except I know someone that loves you. He loves you so much that even in your most painful moments, he will come and help you. On top of that, he sent me running up here. Even though I'm late, he sent me running up here because I'm a pastor. And at that word, he started to bust out crying, and I'm a marriage counselor. He's crying uncontrollably. People are walking by us. I'm looking around. I said to the guy, I said, come here. And we went right behind. There was a little wall right behind the counter. We walked right behind that. I said, dude, tell me what happened. He said, well, you don't understand. He said, I'm a preacher's kid. He said, I grew up in Indiana. My dad has pastored all my life. And he said, I didn't understand people. I love the church. I love God. But I didn't understand people. I didn't understand why people, instead of going home to roast beef, would go home to roast pastor. And I knew it. They would shake my dad's hand at the door and say, pastor, you're incredible. But their kids would tell me what their parents were saying at home. And it totally, totally destroyed me. And I had to get out. I was going to go crazy. I had to get out. So I had a little talent singing in drama, so I came out here to Southern California to try to find my place in the industry. But I got out here and I found out that everybody else, and by now he's crying so hard that this is coming out in just a little short burst. But he said, I found out everybody else has the same amount of talent or more than I did. And I never landed a job, so I just got a job here at Macy's to try to make it go. said, I didn't know what else to do. There was no other places that were friendly to me. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't trust church people. So I went, I started going, first of all, on Applebee's and sat at the bar, and then it got into other bars, and I finally met her at a bar 4 years ago. She was nice to me, and we'd been together, and I loved her. But I knew something was wrong. And then today you come, and you tell me that Jesus loves me. He said, how could God still love me? I've walked away from him. And I said, that's how much he loves you, to send this skinny white guy to run to you. Says he loves you with my energy of running to you. He has more energy than that running towards you right now. And this guy is crying his eyes out. I said, would you like to pray with me? Because you know what you need to do. And he's just like this. So you guys, I'm working on my doctorate in theology right now. I'm in my dissertation part, but I don't get it. I watched as a young man who had totally returned or rejected God and turned away. I watched as that young man prays a sinner's prayer with me through brokenness and through tears, through devastation, through a part that was ripped. I mean ripped, not in two, but in millions of pieces. I watched as God totally saved the dude and totally started to heal him. It was so incredible. I prayed for him for a little bit, and after we finished praying, I could tell this was real. Because this dude grabbed me in this bear hug. Man, this huge bear hug, thanking me. About halfway through the bear hug, I asked him, I said, dude, what are you doing now? He goes, oh, I shift in at 11. I said, well, you have plans for lunch? He goes, no, I don't know what I was going to do. I don't want to go back to the apartment. I said, well, tell you what, let's go out to eat. So we go out to eat. And you guys, as we're talking at lunch, I can totally tell this guy has totally given his life to Jesus. It's like no more of the past. I am totally set free. Because Jesus says, what you once were is there forgotten. It's in the past. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I was sitting with a new creature in Christ Jesus about halfway through the meal. I said to him, hey, dude, we need to go back to my office after this, and let's go make a phone call. He said, to who? I said, let's go call your dad. Wouldn't that be cool? And he goes, no. He said, you don't understand. We haven't talked for 4 years. Because he said, it's my fault. But when I left, my dad felt that if he couldn't control his own kids, that he wasn't worthy to be in the ministry. So he left the ministry. And I said, come on, man. We've got, for nothing else, for him, but also you, we've got to tell him what just happened to you. Finally, after a few more moments of talking, we went to my office. Totally the coolest phone call I've ever had in my life, except when my wife called me from Costa Rica the first time and told me she loved me. Because you guys, it went like this. We're on speakerphone. The other end picks up, hello, Anderson House? I said, is Pastor Anderson there? And the voice, a male voice on the other end said, no, Pastor Anderson isn't here. He left 4 years ago, but I'm here. And I took a shot in the dark. I said, well, Pastor Anderson, this is Pastor Rick Ryan from Santa Ana, California. And Dad, I just want you to know, your son has come home. For the next 45 seconds, on both ends of the phone, all you heard was sobbing. And then for the next 20 minutes, you heard a father and a prodigal son come together. That's a lot of fun. That's what the big adventure's about. That's what God's got destined for you. Because 5 weeks ago, I was in southern Indiana in a new church plant. The pastor of the church, Dick Anderson, was going to introduce me, but he let the youth pastor introduce me, who happened to be his son, Brian. Totally cool. You say, but Rick, what does that have to do with us? Because God's given you missionary shoes. He's given you a big adventure.
He wants you to launch into things that you've never, ever, 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 ever dreamed about. Because the last page of your chapter has not been written yet. Your book is not finished. The pen hasn't been picked up for the last time. God is still doing it. And he wants to do it through you. Because it's your potential. It's who you are as a son of God. It's in your DNA by the seed that has been planted in you. When Jesus came in and planted in you life eternal, it's new stuff. It's your DNA. It's in your DNA. It's in your DNA. I pastored in Oakland, California, and had an associate pastor there who was Chinese. His name was Randall Ong. Randall's a great guy. Randall bought a house there in Southern California in the city of San Leandro for $756,000. It was a fixer-upper that he had to put about $80,000 into. And as he was getting done with it, he said, "Hey, Pastor, I want you to come over and see my house and bless my house." And we did a lot of blessing there. We'd go and lay hands on everything and anoint with oil and all that kind of stuff. So he said, "By the way, Pastor, when you come over," says, "I want you to see my aquarium." Now, I don't know if you've had anybody recently who has invited you over to their house to see their aquarium, but I had never had that. And I said, "Well, why, dude? What, you know, because to me, aquarium is like green water in a 5-gallon tank with dead guppies, right? 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 How many of you had guppies in your life? I did. And the toilet bowl was as good as the tank. You know what I'm saying? Go swimming, little ones. Go away, Nemo. So here I am, and I'm doing that whole thing. And he says, "But you know," he said, "you have to understand." He goes, "I'm an aquarium guy." "You're a what?" I'm thinking like that's a gay thing. You know, it's the Bay Area. And "You're an aquarium guy?" He said, "Yeah." He says, "Go Google it." So I went to my office and Googled aquarium guys. You know what? There's aquarium guys. There's aquarium people. They have like aquarium websites. Aquarium guy websites. They have aquarium guy t-shirts. You can even get a bumper sticker that says aquarium guy. You can get tats. That's tattoo for some of you that don't understand. You can get tats that have aquarium guy tats. They have them. It's really cool. And so, like, I'm like, wow, you know, pretty cool. So he finally gets the house done. He says, and invites us over. So I'm way over. I said to my wife, I said, "No, look, Randall says he's an aquarium guy." She said, "What?" I said, "He's an aquarium guy, and we got to go look at his aquarium when we're looking at a thing, and you need to ooh and ah at it because it might be in his coffee table or, you know, I'm not sure." And she said, "Okay, you know, pastors, we put up a lot with you folks, you know what I mean? We have to say cool about all your stuff, you know what I mean? And it's pretty weird. You got some weird stuff tonight. You watch both these people, okay? You watch all these pastors. They'll come around to your food, and it'll be crawling off the plate, but they'll go, "Oh, this is the best, you know, crawling thing I've eaten in my life. Oh, man, I could have more. You want to make some for me every Tuesday?" That's what we do as pastors. We just do that, you know? And so I'm being real, man. I'm being real. And so, like, okay, we go over to his house. And, like, we go over to his house, and what happens is somebody, I take this back. He takes us through the whole house, and he had done a really good job. We're going through, and then we get to the, back to the living room. And I said, "Dude, where's your aquarium?" And he says, "It's out in my garage." Now, he had a detached garage, 1,200 square feet house for $756,000, real cheap deal. And, fixer-upper, and then a detached garage. So we go out to this one-car garage, and we walk in, and it's 3 feet by 3 feet as you walk in that's carpeted with IKEA lights, okay? The rest of it is an aquarium. This dude was an aquarium guy. I mean, totally an aquarium. I mean, like, floor-to-ceiling fish and squid and creepy crawlers on the ground, and you know, wow. I mean, it was like real live, not that plastic, like those weird plants that grow on the bottom. They had the whole thing. It was so cool, man. My kids were just freaking out. I mean, and I was too. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
You know, because God, when God did the aquatic thing, he like made the coolest. I mean, you know, they have like flames on them and, you know, black with purple with green with chartreuse colors. I mean, you know, just incredible what God did in their mouths. You know, just cool. And so, like, my kids and I were going, like, what's that? You know, and we'd look at a fish, and he goes, well, you know, he'd speak in tongues or Latin or something. And then in English, what is that? You know, he go, that's a blowfish, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, what's that, man? You know, English, tongues, whatever. English, you know. And he would tell us what it was. That's a, you know, bottom fish or whatever. So we're like, we're just having a ball. I mean, it's incredible. This dude is totally an aquarium guy. And this is how he is. He's back and kind of. Like I don't know. I'm totally stunned by this. And then I see floating in the fish, and if somebody would come to the keyboard right now, floating in the water, I mean, is this really cute fish. It's 6 inches long. Now, I say cute, and I'm hesitant to do that because, ladies, you need to understand, guys don't use that word. We really don't even know what it means. We just know we're supposed to say it at certain times in the day. Like when you enter into a room, oh, you look cute. If you have a hair done, your hair redone, oh, so cute. We don't even know what that means. We just know you want to, we never used it before, never in the history of the male species until you get married. You don't use that word. It's just one you don't use, you know. You see a puppy, oh, isn't that cute. And you got to start it with, oh, and you know. So ladies, just understand that, okay? We don't do it. You teenage girls, just understand when a guy, young guys, if you want any of these girls, the word cute's got to enter into your dictionary and your vocabulary. But I mean, this was cute. I mean, it had the cute little shark teeth, you know, sticking and crisscrossing. And, you know, they had the little cute fin, had the big beady eyes, cute, 6 inches. It was cute. And it was cutely at this bass, trying to nibble this bass. And I turned to him. I said, dude, is that a shark? And he goes like this, totally like this. Yeah, it's a shark. He goes, you know, us aquarium guys, we either have a baby shark or we have a piranha. I've got a baby shark. And I'm like, dude, that is like so cool. He says, well, you know, in a couple of weeks, I got to take him out of there. I said, why? He said, well, I got to take him down to the bay, San Francisco Bay. I said, why? And he goes, because I got to let him go. Because it's in his DNA. And he named the species a shark. It's in his DNA to be 7.5 to 8 feet long, to weigh almost 700 pounds, and to eat 150 pounds of fish a day. And if I keep him here, he'll never reach his full potential. But if I take him there and let him go, he will be set free to be all he can be. City Church, do you know what God wants to do to you? He doesn't want you just to be 6 inch cute. Ah, it's just a cute little church. Pastor David put up cute little posters all over about mission. Isn't that cute? Oh, the church, they just worship cutely. Pastor gets up there in his jeans. He looks so cute. Katrina, with a name like that, isn't she look cute? She doesn't look like a hurricane. She's cute. She does a little cute thing. She doesn't remember half the announcements, so she keeps looking at Pastor to help her out. Isn't that cute? Just so cute. I love going to our cute little church. Just cute little thing. Got a little ice water outside for cuteness. Are you going to be the church that I believe prophetically God wants you to be? A church that's going to dominate a city, that's going to take domain, that's going to kick out a spirit of poverty, a spirit of poorness. A spirit of hoarding. Because of my retirement funds. I never know what the government, I never know what they're going to do to me. That's true, you're not. I know a Jesus, though, that will do things to you. Because he says, if you seek me, you will find me. Jeremiah 33:3. If you call unto me, I will answer and give you unsearchable things. Can't Google them.
Things that you wouldn't believe. Why? Because Romans 8:19.
All creation awaits in eager anticipation
for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed, to pull off your Americanisms, to pull off your business mindset, to pull off all that stuff and walk as a child of the King, an adventurer. When's it going to happen, Jesus? When? Because it's in your DNA. It's in your DNA.
Thanks for listening to this message, A Convoy of Hope, with guest speaker Rick Ryan from Convoy of Hope, a non-for-profit organization that feeds the hungry and provides pure drinking water to people in need across the U.S. and around the world. For service times and more information about City Church Orlando, please visit our website anytime at orlandocitychurch.org or call 407-321-9600.